All right, welcome. We've just gone through the entire tech and gaming winter briefing, and there is a lot to unpack.
It is a phenomenal stack of sources this time, a ton of ground to cover.
For sure. So if you're looking for that essential shortcut to everything happening, from, critical security flaws to huge market gambles, this deep dive is for you.
Our mission is pretty simple. We're just going to cut through all the noise and give you the three or four nuggets of knowledge that really matter right now.
And we are not starting slow. We're going straight for the most unsettling thing in this entire briefing. It's something that really challenges the very foundation of digital security.
Yeah, this is where it gets interesting.
For years, we've been told that passkeys, two-factor authentication, 2FA, that these are basically unhackable.
The ultimate defense.
That promise, according to these documents, has been completely shattered.
Yeah, the report zeroes in on what looks like a structural failure inside the Sony PlayStation Network, the PSN.
And they're calling it a critical zero-day vulnerability.
Right. And what's crucial here is that this isn't about a user making a mistake. It's not a phishing link. It's not, using a bad password.
Yeah.
This is a flaw that lets bad actors completely bypass those advanced security layers. We're talking biometrics, passkeys, everything. And without ever touching the victim's device.
The case they use is just staggering. The victim was a tech journalist, Nicholas Lelouch, for Numerama. So a guy who knows what he's doing.
Oh, yeah, a highly informed user. He had every single security measure enabled, did everything right. Biometric passkey, the works.
And yet the hacker just walked right in.
Executed a full takeover, bypassed the passkey, changed his main login ID,
It's just his email address.
his email, yeah,
Yeah.
reset the password. And then the worst part, started using his stored credit card for purchases. It is the absolute worst case scenario.
But here's the detail that really gets me. It's the persistence. So after Lelouch goes through all the trouble with Sony support to recover his account.
The hacker got back in almost immediately.
Wow.
And that confirmed it. This isn't some one-off fluke. The exploit is reproducible, it's persistent, and it bypassed the new password he just set.
How?
Because the path they're using is like a back door. It's hidden deep inside the account recovery process itself.
Wait, so if I'm hearing this right, the weak point isn't my fingerprint scanner on my phone. It's not the fancy unhackable hardware.
No.
It's some 15-year-old piece of code in their legacy forgot my password system.
That is precisely the conclusion. And if we connect that to the bigger picture, it explains everything. It's not a weakness in the key, but in the old system that's managing the keys.
So the logic is flawed.
Deeply.
Yeah.
The theory is that just knowing the victim's email address triggers a very specific sequence in Sony's older support systems. And that sequence just confuses the modern authentication token system.
So it's like the system thinks, oh, I recognize this pattern of events from 10 years ago. That must mean they're legit. And it just hands over the keys to the kingdom.
Yeah.
It grants them a full session token. Yeah. It mimics a successful login. Think of it like a vault with a state-of-the-art fingerprint scanner. That's the passkey.
Okay.
But the security guard, the old system logic, left the side door unlocked because he recognized the secret knock from a decade ago. It trusts the old protocol more than the new hardware.
That is devastating. It means the entire trust model is broken here.
Absolutely. So, given that, the directive from the briefing is, well, it's aggressive, unambiguous.
What should people do?
If you have a PSN account, you need to go in right now and remove all your stored payment methods, credit cards, PayPal, everything.
Don't rely on your passkey or 2FA to protect your money.
Not right now, no. And maybe stop sharing screenshots of your PSN profile online if it shows your email or your unique ID. That could be the starting point.
That is a really harsh but necessary warning. Okay, let's pivot. We're moving from securing your digital property to illegally acquiring it.
To the wild west of the internet, yeah.
Yeah.
We're talking about a new trending platform. It's called SeaCloud.
And it's making the rounds on Persian tech forums, Telegram channels.
The briefing is framing it as the popcorn time of 2025. And if you remember Popcorn Time, it was so polished it made Netflix genuinely nervous.
I remember SeaCloud is following that playbook, right? Clean Netflix-like interface.
Exactly. But it's an open source project. And get this, it's hosted right on Microsoft's GitHub.
Really?
Yep. Its function is super simple. It just scrapes high-quality streaming links from all over the web.
But the thing that's making it explode in popularity, that's the localization, isn't it?
That's the critical insight. It's offering these uncensored global blockbusters, but with options for professional Persian dubbing or high-quality Persian subtitles.
So it's filling a huge gap for users in regions where content is censored or just not available with good localization.
A massive gap. And it's not just movies. The app also acts like a pocket satellite receiver. You get access to dozens of live TV channels from all over the world.
But the real technical killer feature, the thing that makes this so dominant right now, is the optimization for Android TV.
Yes, this is key. Users don't have to mess around with casting from their phone.
You just install the app directly on your smart TV, your Sony Bravia, your Samsung, whatever.
That seamless, native, big screen experience is what turns it from a casual thing into a primary viewing habit. It removes all the friction.
So the ball is in Microsoft's court then, on GitHub. I mean, the code is just a scraper, which is technically legal in some places.
Right, it's just collecting public links. But the use case is obviously copyright infringement.
So how long until the lawyers get involved?
The expectation is a DMCA takedown notice will hit that repository any day now. But, I mean, the cat's out of the bag. It's been forked thousands of times.
Yes,
this model has already set a new standard.
The landscape is always adapting.
Okay.
So speaking of adaptation, let's move from illegal content to the huge strategic move studios are making to capture market share.
And aggressively sell DLC. Yeah.
We're
talking about the big Epic Games Christmas rumor.
The 15 days of free games event is a staple, but the whispers are that they're saving something huge for Christmas Day, for December 25th.
The rumor is reaching a fever pitch. And it is that Cyberpunk 2077 will be the grand finale giveaway.
And the evidence for this, according to the sources, it's pretty compelling. They're calling it the wrapping paper theory.
Epic always hints at the free game with the design of the Mystery Vault's wrapping paper.
Right.
And this year, the paper has this very distinct neon yellow color with all these glitchy digital shapes.
Which is, I mean, if you've played the game, that's pure Cyberpunk 2077. That's the branding. It's the Night City aesthetic.
It's unmistakable.
But the big question is, why? Why would CD Projekt Red give away their flagship massive selling title for free?
Well, it's actually a brilliant, if a little cynical, marketing strategy. The briefing breaks it down into three parts.
Okay.
First, market saturation. Most people who are going to buy the base game at full price, they've already done it, probably years ago.
So sales of the original game are slowing down. That makes sense.
And that leads to the second and most important point, the Phantom Liberty DLC play. That's where the money is now.
Ah, I see.
By giving the base game away to millions of Epic users, CDPR creates this huge captive audience who are now perfectly primed to buy the $30 Phantom Liberty expansion.
So you turn the base game into a free-to-play on-ramp for the paid DLC.
It's an instant, massive conversion funnel. You're basically changing the base game from a product into a massive, expensive marketing brochure for the new content.
But that is genuinely genius.
And third, it keeps the IP in the headlines. It builds hype for the sequel, which we know is in early development as Project Orion. It keeps the brand alive.
If that pans out, it'll be one of the biggest giveaways ever. Epic servers will probably melt.
They will be tested for sure.
So while we're on gaming deals, let's talk about the Steam Winter Sale. We've pulled the must-buys from the briefing.
Let's do it. First up, focusing on value, Elden Ring, Shadow of the Erdtree Edition. It's at 40% off. This is the first big discount we've seen on the complete bundle.
If you've been waiting to get the whole package, now is the time.
Okay, what else? A huge one. Baldur's Gate 3 is at 50% off. That's its lowest price ever. And when you think about the hundreds of hours of gameplay, that's an incredible value.
Unreal. A game that completely redefined the industry this year.
And this is rare, but Hades II, still in early access, has a 20% discount. Supergiant almost never discounts their games, so that's a steal.
And then there are the you have no excuse not to own this deals.
Right. The Witcher 3. Wild Hunt is $3.
Just $3. That's less than a coffee for one of the greatest games ever made.
And finally, a look ahead. There's a surprising 10% pre-order discount on Resident Evil 9. They're trying to lock in that hype early.
Okay, let's broaden out. From gaming to the wider digital economy, starting with crypto.
Bitcoin. The big psychological barrier of $100,000. Well, it was too much.
The bulls couldn't break it.
Nope. Harsh rejection.
Yeah.
It slid about 5% down to test the $94,200 support zone. Not quite the Santa rally people were hoping for.
And the sources are pointing to a really clear reason for this. It's called year-end tax harvesting.
This isn't panic selling. This is strategy. It's the big institutions,
right?
Hedge funds, the big whales. They're closing their books for 2025. They are locking in profits right now to make sure they get those annual performance bonuses.
It's a classic sell the news event. Smart money is taking profits off the table.
And because so many institutions got in this year, the sell-off is way more pronounced than in past cycles.
And when Bitcoin sneezes,
the altcoins catch a cold.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ethereum's below $4,500, still struggling with high gas fees and a fragmented, confusing Layer 2 system.
And Solana.
Fighting to hold the $300 line. And the briefing includes a really important trader's note. Volume is super thin during the holidays.
Which means high volatility.
Extremely high. A small sell order can crash the price. So, you know, caution is advised this week.
From volatile money to active intelligence, let's look east. Xiaomi has unveiled HyperOS 3.0.
This is their new operating system, and it's built on the unreleased Android 16 kernel. Its entire reason for being is generative AI, the active intelligence era.
So beyond just smooth animations, what's the big breakthrough?
It's the new Xiao AI assistant. The key thing is that it can now see your screen.
Okay, that one feature changes everything. The OS is contextually aware of what you are doing.
Precisely. So it can summarize an article you're reading in a little pop-up window.
Yeah.
It can suggest email replies based on the thread you have open.
And it can even control smart home devices by trying to predict what you need before you say it.
It's anticipating the user. It's moving from a reactive tool to an active predictive companion.
That feels like a monumental shift. The OS itself is becoming intelligent, not just a platform for apps.
For sure. The global rollout is planned for January 2026, starting with their flagships. The Xiaomi 15 Ultra, the Redmi K80 Pro, which we know as the Poco F7 Pro. This is a big preview of where Android is heading.
We have covered a colossal amount of ground today from, the security nightmare at PSN.
The sophisticated piracy like C-Cloud. To those aggressive gaming strategies.
And the dawn of generative AI in our phone's core OS.
What's fascinating is how it all connects back to this idea of digital property and its value. Whether it's securing your PSN account or CDPR literally giving away a huge game.
The complexity is just increasing.
It is. Securing your stuff isn't just about good passwords anymore. It's a battle against the system's own flawed logic. The very tools meant to help you recover your account are being turned against you.
Absolutely. And that CDPR move, it brings up a deeper question for you to think about. If a company is willing to give away a blockbuster like Cyberpunk 2077 just to sell you some DLC, what other successful digital product that you already paid good money for might its creators soon decide is more valuable as a free marketing tool just to sell you the next big thing? And how does that change its value overnight?
The landscape never stops shifting. So stay safe, stay informed, and maybe go check those payment settings on your console immediately.
We'll see you for the next deep dive.